Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Paul B. from San Diego.
Alcoholic Paul Brenner.
Hi, Paul.
The last thing I need is something to stand on. It's good to be here. It's good to be sober. Can you hear me? All right. It's good to be here. It's good to be sober. I'd like to welcome the newcomers. I remembered your names for about 30 seconds. Then I got back to thinking about me, and I forgot, but I'm still glad you're here. Welcome. You know, my hope for you is that as Alcoholics Anonymous can do for you what it's done for me, and it's really given me a life. It didn't give me a life back. It gave me an opportunity at life, and an opportunity that I don't have when I'm drinking. Kent, happy birthday. You could have... Had I been able to get to the bell person, you could have a couple of my minutes. So it's good to be here. It's good to see some familiar faces. It's good to see Bill. It's good to see Rick. It's good to see Joanne. I got sober the first time in 1987, and my sobriety date is August the 12th of 2004. So I've got a good 20 years of Chapter 3, and I appreciate the fact that you read Chapter 3 here. It's one of my favorite chapters. I wish more meetings would do it. I want to thank you for the warm welcome I got, the parking signs. I don't know who painted those things up, but those were pretty cool. They rolled up, and there's the big 10-minute speaker sign next to the main speaker sign. So I'm going to try in 10 minutes. Who's got the bell? Where you at? All right. Give me a nod or a wave or something before you got to start ringing. In 10 minutes, I'm going to try and share with you what I was like, what happened to me, and what I'm like today. I identify myself as an alcoholic. And the reason I identify myself as an alcoholic is because alcohol worked. Alcohol was always there. It was first, last, and it was foremost. I treated my alcoholism a variety of ways before I settled with alcohol. I mean, when I did my first drink between 6th and 7th grade, the summer between 6th and 7th grade. I spent my childhood looking around, comparing my insides to your outsides. And it didn't much matter who you are, where you were. I would lose. I would look at you, and I could find something, some characteristic I would portray on you that you had that I didn't have, and I would lose. I was, you know, just out of the chute. I believe I was restless. I believe I was irritable, and I believe I was discontent. So when I saw that stuff in the book, and I had a sponsor go through it with me, I could identify. You know, the big book talks about being maladjusted to life and being in full flight from reality. And I believe that those feelings of difference, for me, identifies my maladjustment to life. I didn't fit in my family. I didn't fit in school. I didn't fit in any sports teams. I just didn't fit. So for me, it made sense that I was maladjusted to life. And what I'd like to do is share one of my favorite experiences about being in full flight from reality. I told you that I treated my alcoholism a variety of ways before I got here, and I like to do a lot of controlled substances. And my sister had a friend who had a friend, and if you could give me something that could help me drink, I was into it. So we're out one night, and I used to run with this pack of girls that like to hunt for seashells at night, low tide, with flashlights. And again, this is the whole point of this story is to share with you how maladjusted the life I got. So we're down at Mariners Point where they play softball. It's dark. It's probably midnight. I'm running around with a flashlight finding seashells. And I find this one seashell that's like a winner, you know. You give her this seashell, and she's going to reward you in some fashion. And
amen.
So I give her this pretty shell, and the group starts moving on. It's like, no, I'm going to stay here. Well, I'm going to find another shell. Make a long story short, the sun came up. I'm at Mariner's Point, honest to God. I'm in a hole this deep, with a flashlight in my mouth, and people are showing up to play volleyball, and they're like, hey, dude, what are you doing? I tried to quit drinking a number of times. And I'm going to share with you my first experience trying to quit and my last experience trying to quit. My first experience, I was about 17. I just watched the afternoon news, and all my friends in high school were getting arrested. They were getting carted off. And I made a deal with one of the guys that lived on my street that I grew up with that I wasn't gonna drink, I wasn't gonna get loaded anymore, and I was gonna meet him the next day down at the local rec center. We were gonna play football, and the appointed time was 3 o'clock. I was supposed to meet him at 3. I'm 17 years old, and I probably got down there at 2:45, 2:49, whatever. But I'm there and I'm pacing, and I haven't drank that day, and it's very uncomfortable, and I'm looking. Dean doesn't show up at 3:03, 3:05. I can't take it anymore. And all we're talking about is a 17-year-old kid that's going to go down to the rec center and play football. But you see, I can't do that on the Natch. I can't do it without spirit alcohol. So I give up on Dean. I give up on that. And I went to some guy's house where I knew I could get a drink. And there's this 30-year-old guy living in his mom's garage. And I go in to see what, you got something to drink. And there's two dudes in there fighting over a needle full of something. And this is my first honest attempt to try and stay sober one day. And I couldn't do it. The simplest thing I can tell you was it was just too hard. It was just too hard. So I went back home and asked my parents to check me into rehab. And I went to rehab in 1987. And I got out. And I got active in some good groups in Alcoholics Anonymous. I ran with Sicker Than Others for a while, which is where I met some of the people that I talked about. You know, if you're new tonight, I want to tell you something. The fact that I got sober in 1987 the first time, and it bounced in and out, and I'm here before you some 20 some odd years later, and only have 5 in a year, says nothing about anything but me, about the fact that I had never been sufficiently beat up by alcoholism to come here and surrender and do what needs to be done. You know, I can absolutely guarantee you Alcoholics Anonymous works. It works every day. It works without fail. It works 100% of the time. The only time I got drunk is when I quit doing it. You know, I can also tell you from my experience that Alcoholics Anonymous is going to give you everything in life that makes Alcoholics Anonymous inconvenient. If I came to Alcoholics Anonymous for a job, I got a job. If I came to Alcoholics Anonymous for a girlfriend, I got a girlfriend. It wasn't until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous to get sober that I got sober and stayed sober. So, I mean, if there's anything I can tell you, you know, I mean, I want to look good. I want to sound good. I want to go, wow, that 10-minute speaker was great. But, you know, the truth is I'm here to carry a message, and the message is Alcoholics Anonymous. And Alcoholics Anonymous works. If you're like me, one of the hardest things for me to do is get outside myself. I mean, even today at 40 years old, 4.5 years sober. I was sharing at our men's meeting a couple of weeks ago. I carry an H&I panel once a month to a crisis house. And this crisis house is for people that just got out of county mental health. You know, most of them are like on suicide watch. And honestly, today, left to my own devices, if I don't talk to somebody, if I don't pray, if I don't try and meditate, if I'm not trying to practice the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous in my life, I can go to that H&I panel, look at those people wearing the paper slippers, and one more time compare my insides to their outsides, and I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose. You know, the ism and alcoholism. I heard something early on from a sponsor that I identified with. And he said for him, the I, the S, and the M in alcoholism was an internal spiritual maladjustment. And it really, really rang true for me. And then when I look for that in our literature, you know, we see words in there. We see maladjusted to life. We see spiritual illness. You know, the simplest thing I can tell you is that that out of the chute, I came with a God-sized hole, and Alcoholics Anonymous is where I found a God that fills that hole. So I want to thank you guys for your attention. Larry, thanks for the opportunity. Thanks.